we all get challenges, right? Different challenges, different problems, and different circumstances for every one of you and for me. Today, I want to talk to you about the joy of service. The passage that our sister read at the beginning was Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, which describe Jesus' mission here on earth, how he was willing to serve and to help others during his early ministry. And today, as a church of believers, we believe that we had to continue with this example and tradition, right? And be able to serve and to help other people in our capacity, of course, doing the best that we can with our talents and our time to help and to promote the cause of God. Please open your Bibles in the book of Luke 16, verse 1 through 9. That's our passage for today, Luke 16, verse 1 through 9. Can we read this passage together? I would like to do this exercise. What I will do is start reading verse 1, and then you, as a church, will read verse 2. I will continue in 3, and we will finalize in verse 9, okay? Luke 16, verse 1 through 9. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him, and this man was wasting his goods. Then the steward said with himself, "What should I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and he said to the first, "How much of you owe to my master?" Then he said to another, "And how much you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. Let's do it together. "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteousness, mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Now, tell me, this is a very easy parable to understand, right? Especially the last verse that we read. You would probably ask yourself, what does Jesus mean with these words? And that's the exercise for us today. Figure it out, what is Jesus trying to tell us in this parable? Let me get close to you right now. Now, if we were talking today in our language, what is another word for a steward? Very good, manager, right? Somebody who is handling somebody's property. So in this story that you just finished reading, we have the main character is a very rich person, right? And then he have a steward, and the owner of the property find out that this person is mismanaging the funds, correct? So what is the first step in trying to put everything in the right place? What did the owner decide to do? Request an explanation, right? Tell me, what are you doing when all these assets that they have been given to you, when all this money and resources? And, like an audit today in our terms. So the manager was afraid, right? Why? But why he was losing his job? Because he knew that he was dishonest, right? He was misusing and probably spending the resources in a way that the owner didn't expect him to do. So he quickly start devising a plan so that he can find a solution to keep supporting his family and gaining some means. So what is his plan? According to the story. Keep wasting the day, the money, the wealth. But the plan include forgiving people's debt to his master, correct? And trying to congratulate himself, making more relationships. Because according to this man, if I forgive these people these huge amounts of money, then when I get fired, what will happen? They will help me because they think, oh, this guy was nice and he helped us to save this money. We will do something for him. Now, Jesus says something interesting in this parable, right? Remember, this is a story. It's a fictional story. But Jesus said to him that the owner of the property, what he did? Commanded him. Why? Very good. He was shrewd. He was wise. He was cunning. He was trying to use, according to his intentions, the best possibilities to increase his influence in other people, right? Now, is this parable was devised for whom? What was the intention of when Jesus was telling the parable? He was telling the parable to whom? Very good. The parable at the beginning said that it's for his disciples. So it's for you and it's for me, right? Now, this parable is a little weird. It's a little different. Why? Because in this story, somebody that is doing something wrong is getting commended, right? And the Bible normally, do God approve people who behave bad? No. But remember, the one who is making the commendation is not God, it's not Jesus, it's the rich man in the story, right? So you need to be careful with that because some people think that Jesus somehow is approving this bad behavior. Jesus is not approving the bad behavior. What Jesus is saying that this man somehow is a very smart guy and his decision, we should imitate his decision, his intention. Why? Why we need to replicate this guy's idea or how we need to do that? And that's the center of the parable, right? Now, when you read the story, Jesus tells in verse 9 to the disciples that we need to make friends, right? We need to make friends. How? How we make friends? Well, let me read the version. This is my new King James version. And if you have King James, it's a little more confusing. But this is what the Bible says. Made yourself by unrighteousness mammon. So here I need to make a little explanation. This word mammon comes from the Aramaic language. And it really means treasure, money, resources. That's what it really means in our language today, right? Some people have even suggested that in Syria, they have a devil that is worshipped there. That is the devil of the greed, the people that is very greedy, you know, the devil of the money. But the majority of the commentators say that in reality, what Jesus is talking here is talking about money, you know. And some people will say, well, did Jesus discuss about money? Well, he did. And this is one of the stories when he's talking about money. But it's not only money, but he's saying that this money is wicked, right? Why this money is wicked? Money doesn't make anything, right? We are the ones who use money, correct? So when money becomes wicked or when money becomes good? Very good. And how do you use money, right? Well, let me tell you that researching about this, I found something in the internet that I think is interesting that I want to read to you. If you have a lot of money, but a lot, what are the things that you probably will purchase? You maybe will say, I would like to buy a better car, a house, or maybe a farm, or a property in Hilton Head, or whatever, you know, you decide to do. But look what some people is doing today here. I will tell you about some things that they are extravagant and very, very expensive. 1.3 million for a roll of toilet paper. Ah, what? That's the question. It's a roll of toilet paper made of pure gold. Okay, it's 24K.
I had a picture over here. It's a roll of toilet paper. By the way, it's not for use. It's only for displays, so don't get ideas. It's made of metal. It's for display. So somebody paid that amount of money for this roll of toilet paper. Yeah, you think that is important, you know? Somebody paid $60,000 for a bottle of water. Not regular plastic, but the bottle of water that we put water in it, you know? $60,000, yeah, what? Come on, it's not possible. Yes, it's a bottle of water that is made from wool and some jewels and everything. For the ones who drink beer, of course none of them do, you know, here. You can find one of these beers that it costs between $800 to $1,800 every single beer. That's a very expensive beer, right? Some people do pay that amount of money for that. Right, yeah, you have to be drunk to do that, something like that. Somebody in India, you know, the people in India, they have this high appreciation for gold. Somebody in India get a shirt made completely from gold. The whole thing is made of gold. And here is a guy, you know, wearing this beautiful shirt, made $250,000 for that shirt. A quarter of a million. Made of pure gold. Yeah. They don't use fabric, they use gold. What about a hot dog that costs $2,300 for a hot dog, you know? Yeah, one of these dogs you can get for $150. Somebody paid for a pencil, for a pen, $1.47 million, made with diamonds and other things. Popcorn. Somebody paid $250,000 for a gallon of popcorn, sprinkling with gold and other things. Glasses. Sunglasses. Somebody paid for a pair of sunglasses $408,000, almost $500,000 for sunglasses. And the list goes on and very expensive things. So how society spend money today? Well, a lot of people spend money in very frivolous things, right? And that's what Jesus is discussing here. Money in itself is not bad. But how you use money, your resources, it will make it good or bad. Now, why Jesus is talking about money to the disciples? Well, in order to understand that, we need to go back to Luke. Please open your Bibles in Luke 16. And you will find out the reason. When you read in Luke 16, you will find out this in verse 14. Read with me. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also hear all these things, and they deride him, right? So the story has like a double purpose, correct? He's speaking to the disciples, but he's also speaking to this group of people in there, that they are leaders of the nation, that they are criticizing him because he is friend of sinners and bad people with bad reputation. So what is their problem, according to the story? Well, the problem with the story is that these people, they love money to the point that they were misusing their talents that God had given them for in obtaining more resources, more money. Have you ever been concerned with money? We all do, right? Moments when you think, how I will pay for this bill, or how I probably will get groceries in my house, or how I will get even money for gas to go to church. Different struggles, you know. You get an employee, you don't get any assistance, and you are trying to survive. Money can be a challenge for us today, right? So the story is applicable to us in the sense that we need to be careful in how we use our resources. It is a very important thing to do a careful examination in how you are using your resources. Especially if you are in the service to God. Correct? Now, I want to suggest that the story go beyond that. I would like to suggest that Jesus is not only speaking about money here. He's speaking about all kind of talents. The resources that God has given to you. Amen? Like your voice, your intelligence, your willingness. Different things that we can do for church. Or for God. For the kingdom. Are you using the talents that God has given you in the best way? That's a good question. Do you feel that you are doing the best that you can according to your abilities with the money and the resources that God has placed in your hand? And if we are honest, the majority of us, we will say probably no, right? It's always something that we can do better. You remember the story of the talents? That this is another story in the Bible. When this rich man gave people different talents, he gave 5 to 1 and 2 to 1 and 1 only to 1. What was the problem when the person who received only 1 talent? He didn't use it. He didn't even put it in the bank to gain some interest, right? So even if you don't use your talent to help others, you can use it to gain interest of God and you, right? But he didn't even want to use it for that. He was afraid of that. So the parable is quite interesting. At least to me, it's really important that we remember several things. Number one, that God has placed resources in your hands that you can use to help others, even your own family, right? That we need to be careful in how we use our money, our finances, our resources, correct? Because in occasions we get difficult times, and it's precisely when we are in these difficult times that we have like a higher appreciation for money, right? You say, oh, now I know what it means to save and to use money in a more wisely way. But also because Jesus, one day, he will ask you for an account. And he will ask me, give account of the resources that he gave you. It is accountability here in this story. One day, the owner of all these things, he will demand from you, give an explanation, what you did with the things that we give you. And that's a serious situation right there if you are misusing God's talents, right? Now, I want you to pay attention to the rest of the story that is found here in verse 10 through 12. And keep in mind that when every single time that Jesus is speaking about unrighteous mammon, he's speaking about worldly material resources, right? And I say to you, make friends for yourself by, you know, worldly material things, that when they fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. What it will fail? What is Jesus assuming that one day will fail? Well, according to the story, our money, right? Our resources, one day they will be finished. And what will happen to us if we use the resources to help others? Well, to put it in a simple terms, what Jesus is saying here, if you invest your life, if you invest your resources and your talents and all that you can do for God, one day you will be welcome in heaven. Because you are making a heavenly investment. You know, many years ago, here in the U.S., and when I'm speaking many years ago, I'm speaking like 5 years ago, during the crisis, our name was really well known here in TV, and the name of this person was Bernie Madoff. You remember that guy? Bernie Madoff was an investor from New York, and he defrauded a lot of people of a lot of money, a lot. They think that he spent more than 50 billions, not millions, billions, with B, you know, trying to do my best pronunciation here. So it was a lot of money, banks and private citizens, and a lot of people lost everything. And when they were doing the investigation, they discovered that it's because people were very greedy. They were expecting a high interest in return, and they were, for some reason, when we had something, we always want more. How you find out that? God, please give me a job, and God gave you a job. Oh, I want a job where I made more money, right? And when we made more money, oh, I want more money because I want to spend more. But it's always kind of like more. We are never happy, right? We are always looking for something. And the story goes that this man convinced a lot of people if they give him the resources, he will return to them a high interest, and all these people fall for that. And not only that, but these situations, they are called pyramids outside, you know, when somebody's defrauding all these people. They even happen in churches too. It happened in some churches in Atlanta many years ago. Some of the elders and the leaders of the church get in contact with this gentleman I don't know where he was. He will get there at the church, and he start promising members that they will give in a lot of interest in return for their money. The elders go for it, and they get some money, and then everybody hear that, and then the deacons and everybody at the church. And you can imagine that it was a fraud. There was a farce. Eventually, the guy disappeared, and nobody can give an explanation of that money. And the church was divided, and a lot of people was angry because they feel that they were abused and they were robbed. But in reality, a lot of the situations that we get into in our lives is because we made the wrong decisions, correct? We become too greedy or become insatiable in our desire to get more and more things. Now, the story continues saying that we need to use our resources to make people friends. But why? Why we need to make friends? What is the intention here? To use your resources to make friends to help people to get to heaven, right? That's the story for the disciples. So make friends so you will be received in heaven. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in the much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in the much. Therefore, if you had not been faithful in the unrighteousness, mammon, or in the worldly material things, who will be committing you the true? Who will be committing you to your trust the true riches? So Jesus is saying, listen, you have been misusing the money. But it's something more important than money that God has for us, right? What is that? Very good. It's the gospel. It's the message that God has for everybody. That's more important than money, than material things. So what Jesus is saying, if you are faithful in how you use your resources, then you will be able to be faithful in how you preach the gospel too. So you mismanage your resources, then eventually you will mismanage the preaching of what? Of the gospel too. Remember, it's more important that it has more relevance than material things. Now, the question to you is this, and for me also, of course, in first place. What are we doing here for church? Do you feel that the things that you are doing here are for the members, or you are doing this thing because you want to help God in the growing of His kingdom? What is the motivation behind your actions? Do you think that you are doing your best? Can we improve in the things that we're doing? Are you using your talents correctly? Or you are afraid of, you know, mismanaging the talents? This year, we begin with a new group of people here at a church. Every year we do, you know, for the leaders of the church. And let me ask you something. How do you feel serving as a board member? You think like it's an easy task? It's something that you would like to do? You probably think, no, that's not for me, right? Like, I'm busy, I don't like meetings, and in occasions it's too long, and I'd rather do my own thing. Well, okay, that's fine. How about serving as a deacon or serving as an elder or helping us here as a greeter at the church? Well, I will think about it, but my time is kind of limited. I just like to do some things and enjoy traveling. And that's a good explanation. You don't have to give any explanations to me, actually. I'm just a fellow worker like you. But I would like to remind you that God is expecting us to use our talents in the best way possible, right? And that one day He will demand from us an accountability report. Now, the second question that I would like you to think about today is, do you feel that you have talents that you can use for church? Or what is your excuse? You know, yesterday I was talking to a gentleman who is the director of Maranatha Volunteers. You know, Maranatha is this organization who are going around the world building wells and building churches and building all these things. And talking to this gentleman in Maranatha, his name is Roger, I explained to him, listen, we want to build a new church and we are interested in help, getting help from Maranatha volunteers and trying to get some information about that. And I explained to him, but I have a challenge. In my church, I have a lot of seniors and I think we are limited in the amount of, you know, the things that we can do. I was trying to get an excuse on your behalf, you know, like to get out of the hook to work. And his answer kind of like caught me by surprise. He said, why? What do you mean, why? Well, they are seniors, you know, they are elderly members, and But that's an excuse. I'm 80 years old. Oh, okay. So, and I'm doing this. So that's my answer right there. So you know, the guy who's coordinating this global project is an 80-year-old man. Nothing else. I have no more comments after that. Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, we will do whatever you ask us to do. You see, in occasions we use our age as an excuse, right? We use our physical health. Oh, I have so many problems. We use our time. I don't have time. But in reality, they are excuses. Let's be honest. They are excuses. If we want to, we can do it. What is the difference? Well, the difference is how much love and passion do you feel for this? When you are really passionate about something, you will do it, right? Nobody had to push you. You will do it because you love it. That's your thing. Today, I want to pray for the leaders of the church who will be working for the next year because it's challenging. I know you will be challenged in work, and maybe some of you will think, Pastor, find another person because I want to quit. Or don't give up, okay? I know it's difficult, and I know it's challenging, but also we have a good example in Jesus Christ. He was always serving other people. Look at him. He was God, incarnated in a human being, and not only God incarnated, but God serving others to the point to be a servant, right? So every single time that you read the Gospels, you will find the same story. Jesus willing to serve. So what I should do as a disciple of Jesus? Should we imitate his actions? What do you think? So dear members of the board here, if you want, I would like you to please stand up wherever you are. If you are a member of the board, can you please stand? All right. Thank you. If you are not a member of the board, but you are doing something for the church, you are a deacon, you are a greeter, can you please stand? Even if you are doing a little simple thing. All right? If you are a member of this church and so far you are not connected with any ministry, but you would like to do something for God, even a simple thing, I would like you to stand if you want to. All right? Thank you. Now, look around you. And you will find that we have members that we need to take care of, people that we need to help and serve. Amen? You are not getting paid for this. You won't get probably many rewards. But I will assure you that the one who had commanded us this work, he will reward us one day. Amen? So, can everybody join me here? I'm praying for these leaders. So God encourage them and give them strength so they can continue in this year. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, with eternal gratitude, we want to ask you to please bless this group of persons if they are willing to work for you. Help them, encourage them, giving them wisdom. And, oh Lord, helping them, help us also as a member of the church to be able to contribute in any way possible. We ask you, God, to bless our church and give us the right vision for our community here in Aiken, that we can continue preaching this gospel to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So thank you so much for being willing to serve. And I want you to consider this, think about it. If you are not engaged in any ministry so far, it's something that you would like to do. It's something that you will enjoy in doing. Please talk to me or talk to one of the elders. We will help you. We will support you in any way possible. If you need resources or if you need instruction or material, we are willing to help you. At least consider that. Pray about that. Think about that. And we will continue praying for you. I know everyone had different passions here. But I hope that God continue blessing you and blessing your families. Amen.